Take our Bibles and turn to the book of Deuteronomy. I had a verse here that I've had a chapter. This is a little backward, I know that. I've had a chapter that I really liked a lot, that I wanted to find a reason to preach on it. That is not how I'd normally do things. I think that's how probably a lot of people do, but not how I normally do things. But Deuteronomy chapter 7. Actually, start off in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Take Deuteronomy 4, and then we'll wander a little bit more in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 4 we'll start off in. I love Deuteronomy. It's a beautiful book. The wording of it is the covenant of it with man and God. Deuteronomy, expresses the heart of God and how God feels about his people. And it's a beautiful book to read. And you would think it'd be like Exodus and Leviticus, a harsh book, but Deuteronomy is not a harsh book. It's a very loving, emotional book. All of them are wonderful and perfect. It's just they're expressing God in different ways and different parts of God. And Deuteronomy 4, this is kind of Moses reviewing the covenant with God and how that God loved them and they chose God. And he's kind of summarizing, remembering it. Chapter 4, verse 1, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess a land, which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you." So he's kind of reviewing how God talked to them. And this chapter is really beautiful, and we're going to use this and talk about a part of this chapter and then kind of go over the Bible of just one thought that God expresses that's very beautiful in here. "You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." And, you know, with all the warnings of messing with the Bible, you would think that nobody messes with the Bible because there's a lot of warnings about it. But Christians, the sad thing is, mess with the Bible. And there are ministries that translate the Bible to other languages, and I think Wycliffe Ministries still translates things in other, it's an important work. You have to translate the Bible to whatever country you're going to and things like that. The thing is, you just translate what it says. Amen. You don't need to take away or add anything. You don't need to put your interpretation in there. You don't need any paraphrasing. You don't need to take mix up a bunch of different Greek texts and decide, I want this one and not this one. You just, God's word says what it says, and don't mess with it. And he says, don't add to anything to it. Don't take anything away from it. It's written perfectly. So you should have that. "That you may keep the commandments which of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-peor. For all the men that followed Baal-peor, the Lord your God had destroyed them from among you. But ye did cleave unto the Lord your God. Ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people." Did you catch that? God said, if you just do what the Bible says, everyone's going to go, man, you are smart. That's what he said right there. I want to say that is true. I've seen it in my little world. I've seen it in many Christians who've really followed the Bible. People think you're way smarter than you are because it works out. They say, man, you're sure wise at marriage. Well, actually, it wasn't my recipe. It's like I follow Betty Crocker and everybody thinks I'm a good cook. Okay. And some of us can't even follow Betty Crocker and get it right, but you get the point. When you just follow God, says everybody's going to say, what a wise nation you are. Man, you have understanding. And the crazy thing is somehow the devil convinces kids who grow up and people who grow up around church that this way isn't right. And somehow he never makes them look at the world and watch how the world turns out. And they go out and try it and they say, you know what? Those people are really smart who follow the Bible. I really messed up my life. That was stupid. Because you seem really smart when you follow the Bible. Because it works. It works. The Bible works. It works in marriage, works in life, works in finances. Whatever you want to do, it works in. They'll say, surely this nation is a wise and understanding people. Verse 7, for what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? That's what I want to focus on. What nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? He says, when you will follow me. By the way, it's conditional. If you don't follow me, you're going to be in a big, big mess. If you do follow me, everyone's going to say you're very wise. And what nation is so blessed that has God so near to them? When we call upon him, he will answer because he's near to us. I want to talk about to have God so near unto them, to have God so near unto them. Father, help us now and speak to us through your word. Empower, control my mind, my thoughts, my words, and help us to be spoken to every person. Boy, what precious souls are in here, Lord. What a great need, Father. What a great responsibility. May I not mess it up, and may you just take control and speak through me and help us, Father. Cleanse me and flow through me, and may I not stop you from saying anything you want said the way you want it said, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, he just spoken of such an honor. What nation is there that God is so near to them? It's a beautiful thing when somebody says, God's near you. It's a beautiful thing when you say, God's near me. If I took a poll of Christians across wherever, then America or the state of Washington, whatever, said, do you feel like God is near you? I would have, just in my experience and a guess, I would have 20% say yes. And a lot of them would say, boy, I want him to be near me. I just don't. And feel is a dangerous word. But when God's near you, you know it. You just know it. And what it's such an honor he speaks of it as. What nation is just so great who hath God so near unto them? And that's kind of what everybody else is saying about him. That when they call, God answers. When they need food, it rains down from heaven. When they need guidance, a pillar moves. When they need their clothes don't wear out. When they need water, it comes out of a rock. What nation is there? I mean, they're blessed and they're prosperous and God's working in their lives. What nation and what people are so great that God is so near to them? Near to God, nigh is the word. I didn't say anything, the word is near. Near to God is the greatest place in the world. Matter of fact, it's the greatest place in the universe. I'm going to read you a couple of verses that just talk about how wonderful it is to be near to God and how great a privilege it is. And because God speaks of it, and people who experience it speak of it very highly. And Psalm 16, verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Amen. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Amen. In God's presence, God being near to you and you being near to God is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. That's like a pretty good place. It's like a place I like to go on vacation. Fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. And yet there's nothing given to you. It doesn't say you got $1 million or a mansion or anything. It just says God's presence is there. And you have fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Psalm 73, verse 28, but it is good for me to draw near unto God. I put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare thy works. It is good for me to draw near unto God. It's just a good place to be. I want to just real simple, to have God so near unto them, that's a longing I have, and I hope it's a longing you have, to have God near you, to be near to God. There's some beautiful hymns written near to thee, and other songs that are written about just being near God. Draw me nearer, nearer, precious Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Draw me nearer to you, Lord. So I just want to give you a few thoughts on how you can draw near to God. I probably won't exhaust everything the Bible says about it, but we'll give you several very clear things in the Bible where it says, here's how you can be near to God, because God is not a respecter of persons. Matter of fact, you see, I'm not worthy to have God near to me. Please don't think Israel was. Israel wasn't really worthy of it. As a matter of fact, they're pretty frustrating. And yet God was near to them. You can be near to God if you want. Is that simple? You can be close to God if you want. It is not up to God in many ways whether you're close to him. It's up to you. And pretty much as close as you want to be to God, you can be. First thing, just a couple things. It begins with the calling of God. It begins with the calling of God. And I don't want to ever neglect. We believe in the free will of man, and we certainly do. But I never want to neglect and not talk about the sovereignty of God. Because Jesus said, except my Father draw you, no man can come to me. And God's got to draw you and call you to him. And the beauty of it is God calls people to him because he wants to be near to you. And he calls you to him. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself. Above all people that are upon the face of the earth, the Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you are more in number than any people. For you are the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn to your fathers and Abraham and stuff. It says you did not get God to be close to you because you were such a big people or anything special. It's just God just decided he loved you a whole bunch and he wanted to be close to you. And that's just God calling. God saying to my heart, I loved you. And there's going to come a time in your life where it might be this message tonight, and it might have been a year ago, and it might have been at whatever point, but God's going to come to you and say, I really want to be close to you. And you'll be ready to say, and I'm ready to be close to you. Now, God at that point might say, okay, in order to get close, we got to do a few things. And you might say, I don't want to be close to you that bad. Now, you might never say those words, but those actions prove those words. But God wants to be close to you. And he'll start calling you at a certain point. And maybe during this message, it might have already happened, might happen in a year. But God's going to call and say, I want you and I to get real, real close and really snuggle up. And that's that point where you're ready because God loves everybody and loves you. And he's not a respected person. So he would love to be very close with you. This starts with salvation. That's the first moment. That's the first way God calls us to be close to him is through salvation, because you can't get close to God unless you're born again. You're dead in trespasses and sin. If you're not saved, you're the enemy of God, the Bible says. Ye who were the enemies and were far off were made nigh by the blood of Christ, the Bible says. And there's many verses we could read on that. The Bible says, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. The law makes us realize we're sinners and we need a Savior, and we realize our sin is separated from God, and that brings us to God because we can draw near to him in salvation and say, I need you to be my Savior, and he comes, and talk about near, he comes to live inside of us. So he starts with God calling you, and that leads to salvation, and salvation brings you close to God, and then he continues throughout your life to call you to nearness to him. But not everybody wants to be near to God. Now, they might say and think they want to be, but nearness to God costs something. And nearness to God takes commitment. See, nearness to God, God says it's free, it's open to you, but you can't bring everything with you here. And I don't like everything. And if you drag that in here, listen, I could want to be close to somebody, but it doesn't mean they're going to really get close to me because they may have things that make it not happen. I remember the story of a young man, a guy at Bible college, a professor. He told us when he was a kid, they used to, for every Halloween, they used to go out and tip over the outhouse of the guy down the street. And they used to think it was a lot of fun. They'd go tip over the outhouse all the time. And every year they'd go tip over the outhouse, and they would laugh and laugh and laugh. And the farmer got tired of it, and the farmer moved the outhouse back 10 feet. And they went to run in. He ran to run in to push the outhouse over, and he fell into the hole where the outhouse was and was immersed all the way under. All the kids screamed and ran off, and he climbed out of that thing, and he ran home. He didn't know what to do. His mom would get him in so much trouble, and he was grossed out, obviously. And he is screaming, and he's running toward the door, and his mom hears him screaming away off. and sees and smells him running toward the house and says, "Stop wherever you are! You are not coming to this house. Mommy, oh, you are not coming to my house. I'm getting the hose. Stay there." Now, did she love her son and want to be close to him? Maybe not at the moment. But you know what? She loved her son, but she wasn't going to get close right then with all that on him. And he wasn't coming in the house with all that. Though she loved him, and she probably wanted to hug him and comfort him. Yet, there was some icky stuff there. And God wants to be near to you, but not everything can happen. Because we're icky sometimes. Because we want to bring things with us. It's like going up to a woman and saying, "You know what, here's my girlfriend. I'm moving in and want to marry you also." She says, "You're not bringing that in. You're not bringing that with you." And we got to realize that God wants to be close, but there are conditions and things that he likes. First of all, he calls you and he gives you salvation, and that's the start of it. And then next, if you want to be close to God and draw near to him, don't run from his presence. Don't run from his presence. And there's a lot of Bible on this. We'll just read a couple of verses, Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and ate, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." Jonah chapter 1, verse 3 said, Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord. You say, why would somebody run from God? Because God's convicting. That's why. And I want to say this, when God is trying to draw close to you and you're not right, it's like two magnets turn the wrong way where he comes close and you go away. Because you love something more than him. "No, I don't love that more than God. I love God the most." Okay, then get rid of it and draw close to him. "Why? Oh, no." Okay. See, the presence of God we find in the Bible is very convicting. It's bright, it's light, it's shining, and it reveals everything. And Isaiah found that out when he came in the presence of God and says, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, and I've seen the Lord of hosts." The light is shining, and no, God, whoa, I'm running away. Jonah didn't want to obey God, so he tried to run from God's presence because God's presence was convicting to him. And always be worried about yourself when you don't want to be in the presence of God. Now, the devil might not twist it that way where it sounds like it, but you will not want to go to church all of a sudden. And you'll find a whole bunch of good reasons to not go to church because Jesus walks in the midst of the church. And it will not be in your mind saying, "I don't want to go to church because Jesus is there and I feel convicted." That's not what it'll be. It'll be, "I just don't feel like it anymore. It's just not the same." And don't run from God's presence. God might come to talk to you, and you might run because you're convicted. A merciful God, you'll find that if you say, "Lord, I want to be close to you, but I'm really weak, and I have this thing, and it's sin," you will find a lot more mercy and closeness than not admitting the truth and running and making excuses. Don't run from the presence of the Lord. Conviction is not him trying to run you off. You understand that? When Adam and Eve hid themselves in the presence of the Lord, God was not trying to run them off. They ran from him. He was trying to walk with them. But conviction reveals to your condition that there's something between you and the Lord and says, "Hey, I'm God, I'm purity, I'm power, I'm holiness." And all of a sudden you say, "I'm not." And if your heart is right and you want to get it right, you say, "Lord, I'm sorry." But if your heart's not right, you run. And you don't want to hear about it, and don't tell me about it, and don't judge me. Because you are running from God's presence. And that conviction you feel is not God saying, "I want you to feel bad." It's saying, "There's something between you and me, let's fix it." It's like nerves saying, "You have an owie. You need to stop the bleeding." And that's what God's presence does. See, when you get near to God, it begins to change you. When I began to really get a prayer life as a young man, I really began to change quickly because I began to get in the presence of God. I remember Tom Williams telling the story of he had a couple young men who wanted to learn to pray, and they prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for hour after hour. And after a couple weeks, one of the young men is praying, and he just was really in the presence of God. And he prays with Brother Williams there and his friend there, and he just prays out loud, "Oh God, you know, nobody else knows that I have a problem with smoking." But you know what? He was with God. He wasn't thinking about everybody else around. And God was speaking to him. See, sin and God don't dwell together very good. One of them runs. Either you run away with your sin, or God just says, "I got somewhere else to go." But really, in truth, God doesn't leave. You just never quite get there. Because he says, "If you want to come after me, do this." And you don't do that. So God really never moves, but it seems like we're not close to him. Because we just can't get there because we run from his presence. Number three, if you want to get close to God, obey his commandments. John 14, I like to say there's something more clever and more simple than this. But you know, the number one thing that I found in the Bible about the presence of God is obeying his commandments. It wasn't loving him with all your heart, although I believe in that totally. And I know John 14, 15 says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." But you know what? The number one thing God says you want to do in my presence is you keep my commandments. That's what he says. He said, "If you want to be near to me, just do what I say." That's what he says. John chapter 14, verse 20. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And when you love me and keep my commandments, I will love you and I will manifest myself to you. Okay? Now, let me clear up some confusion that might confuse you a little bit about the Bible, but it's important you understand because God makes a distinction here. God loves everybody. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. By the way, let me finish this verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and will make our abode with him. He says, I will come unto you, I will manifest myself to you, I will make my abode with you. I'll hang out right there with you. God loves everybody. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. We could give verse after verse. God loves everybody. However, God says, if you keep my commandments, I'm going to love you. Okay? If you're a decent Christian, you love pretty much everybody. Okay? You might love everybody in this room. There's a couple of you are pretty tough to do that with, but, you know, most of you. Let's say we love everybody in this room. But did you know some people are more lovable? How many of you are sitting by someone who's not never mind. But just for a sec here. Did you know I might talk to my wife and say, I just love that guy. You know what I mean? I mean, yeah, I love everybody in the church. I love a whole bunch. But there's certain people who are more lovable. There are certain people who are just, man, they're just great. Do you love everybody? In fact, yes, but God says, I will love them if they love me and keep my commandments. And God just looks at some Christians and says, you know, I love all those guys, but man, I just love that lady. She is so wonderful. I would like to be the one that God says that to. I would like to be the one that God loves. I will if a man keep my words, and that means he loves me, I will love him and will manifest myself to him. It's pretty powerful. You want to be near to God? Do what he says. And obedience is so simple and so obvious. It's so clear. I do what Jesus says. Okay, we understand that. However, we make a lot of reasons why we can't. And obey his commandments. Another verse that kind of says this, and I think that verse said it good enough, but I'll read Psalm 15, because Bible says, "Who's Lord?" This is Psalm 15, verse 1. "Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly," so who's going to dwell in God's presence? Who's going to be near to God? "He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. In whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He putteth out his own money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved." Who's going to abide in God's presence? Those who live holy and righteous. And you, in the same way, you have your home. You might love a lot of people and maybe let them into your house for a minute, but you know who you're, if you're a godly person, going to hang around? Those who live what you believe in. And that's what God does. He says, "Those will be near me who obey my commandments and do what I say." You want to be close to God. God probably, God's probably already told you what's hindering it. And it might have been the same thing hindering for a year or 2 years or 5 years. And if you really want God, you'll say, "Lord," you might even do what I did. Because I got to the point one day where I said, I got down and I started getting the big things out of my life. And I got down to a few things. And I got down to my music and chewing tobacco. Then I got rid of the music. And then I got down to just chewing tobacco. Of things at that point in my life that was just the big clog of icky stuff that was just God was saying, "Hey, we got some big things. Let's get close, but you got some big glaring things to me. And I can't do what I want to do with you, and I can't get close enough to you." And I remember just looking at God, 'cause I kept trying to quit and kept trying to quit. And I come and looked at God and said, "You know, Lord, the truth is I do not love you enough to stop this, and I'm not strong enough. I've tried. You've got to do something here because I can't do it. Everything else, I mean this, I could do." Now, I know it's through God's grace and strength, but you know what? God gives you the ability. And God gives you strength, and you have a will. And you can say, "I'm going to stop doing this." But I get to the point where I just didn't have discipline. That's all there was to it. And at certain times, I had to have a chew on my mouth. It's just the way it was. And I got to the point where I said, "God, I really want to be close to you, but I'm not strong enough." That is far different than when we go and just, "No. I'm not going to do it. I have my reasons. I'm going to do this thing." And God says, "Boy, you're missing out being near to me." We obey his commandments. And if you really want him, you can work things out and find a way and eventually get close to God. Next, if you want to be near to God, draw near in prayer. And this is obvious in the Bible, but I want to give it, even though those points are obvious, I want to give them. Genesis 18. Abraham begins to pray, and it just uses a pretty phrase in Genesis 18, verse 23. "And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked?" Notice the phrase "drew near." There's a couple of verses in Hebrews that are beautiful that say this in prayer. Psalms 145, verse 18 said, "It's good for me to draw near unto God." Hebrews 4, 16, there's two verses in Hebrews. We'll read one of them that we could read here at this point. It says, "Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We'll read in Hebrews 10:22. It says, "Let us draw near with a heart of full assurance." Prayer is you drawing into the presence of God, and anybody can pray. Every man that asketh receiveth. It's the charity stripe of getting close to God, because God wants you to pray so much. He said, "Anybody who wants anything, ask and you shall receive. For every man that asketh receiveth." Come to me and pray, and when you pray, you come to the throne of grace and you come in my presence, because I've just allowed prayer as a special thing where anybody who is saved, who wants to, now has access to me. Now, some we're on closer terms, but you know what? I want to answer your prayers. And you got to spend time in prayer. And do not say you want to be close to God if you say you don't have time to pray. Do you think that would work with someone you were courting? "I really want to be close to you and somebody I'd like to marry you. I just don't have time for you." How would that go? And yet that's exactly what we say to God. "Yeah, Lord, I want to be close to you, but you know how busy I am. You know, you're the most beautiful woman in the world. I'd like to be a wife someday, but you know I'm busy. So, you know, you understand. I'll get back to you someday." Listen, the God of the universe is the priority of your time. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Why don't you give God your best and your first, just like the tithe, and find out how God blesses the rest of your time? But prayer is the way to get in God's presence. Next, you want to draw near to God is draw near in truth. Draw near in truth. We're in Hebrews. I'm going to read chapter 10. Then I'm going to read a couple other key verses to you about this. Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. I think that's interesting here in Hebrews 10:22. It says having our conscience clean. I don't know how everybody else prays. I've never been in anybody else's shoes. I know when I pray, if there's something between me and the Lord brings it up. That's just the way it works with me. And I'll want to pray about this, and I'll say, God, I want to talk to you about this. And God will say, but I want to talk to you about this. Oh, yeah, okay. Anyway, I want to talk to you about this here, Lord. And I got to deal with it. I just can't get very far in prayer unless I deal with the stuff that God's speaking to me about. And it says, having your conscience cleansed. Herein do I exercise myself, always have a conscience void of offense toward God and man. If you find your friend, offensive against your friend, and you're bringing a gift to the altar, leave your gift there, go fix it with your friend, and come back. And what I want to say is, we got to go to God and go in truth. Not denying things that are there. You're better off, as I said, going to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I haven't found the strength to do this, but I do want to be close to you. You have a merciful God. But if you do not come in truth and you come in denial or justification of yourself, you don't get anywhere with God. God likes purity. Thou desirest truth in the inward part, he says in Psalm 51. God wants you to be clear, and he wants you to have that. Isaiah 29, verse 13, it says, these people draw near to me with their mouth, but their hearts are far from me. Draw near to God in truth and in honesty, and don't, you can deceive each other, but you cannot deceive God. Just be real. Be real. And especially be real with God. And I'm telling you, this is so key because it works. Those in the Bible who said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, God was merciful to them because they're honest about it. Those who want to justify themselves and don't deal with it, don't talk to God about it, they don't get mercy. Luke 19, Pharisee and publican. And so you realize that's the way God does it. Let's read this verse earlier, but Psalms 145. I want us to draw near to God. I want to draw near to God. And so here are some things that God says that we can do, and he makes it so we know exactly what we can do. Psalm 145 and verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Don't be a fake. Be real. Be honest with God. Draw near in truth, not just with your mouth, not just by putting on an act at church, but with God in reality. Next, you want to be near to God, return to him. Return to God. Oh, I love it. In one of the last verses in the Old Testament, in Malachi, in chapter 3, and verse 7, he says, return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Return unto me, and I will return unto you. God says, we're separated. Okay, let's see. Oh, Travis, can you come up here, and I use you for a sec? Gonna be God or man? All right, he's man, and so I'm God. Okay, come on over here. Travis is one of these guys who doesn't like guys hugging him, but we're gonna do it anyway because he's gonna be courageous about this. All right, so him and I are close. We're God and man. We're close. You don't have to put your arm around me. It's okay. I understand. And we're close. We're all, and we're getting along great and everything. Okay, I am the Lord. I change not. Okay, go ahead and move away. All right, here's the thing. I didn't change a whole bunch. I want to be close to him. I don't have anything that draws me away from him. But he has prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. There is nothing in heaven that God says, okay? God didn't say, I want to be close to you, but I got some things that I really like over here that are bad and you wouldn't like them. Okay? God never does that. And if you and God are separated, if I get to take up bets on who wandered, my bets are on you or me. But here's a great thing. God actually, you wander away from God. God says, you know what? We're distant. But the beautiful thing about God, and the next two points are kind of combined, is God so desperately wants to get close to you. He proved that by letting his son die for you. He wants to be close to you. That he's going to really work hard to get close to you. But he requires you to take the step. I love you. I want you to be close to me. I care about you. I'm giving you air you're breathing, everything you have. I love you. I'll forgive you. But you got to want to come back. And God invites. But notice he says, return unto me and I'll return unto you. So you decide to take a step. And I say, good, I really want to get closer to you. Because God wants to be close. But understand, forever, if you think that if you stay where you are and God's going to come to where you are in your sinfulness and lack of decision and get close to you again, it will not happen. Return unto me and I'll return to you. You know what God does? He says, I'll take you back. I'm not going to become sinful. I'm just a father who sees you coming on the road and comes out and gives you a big hug. But I'm not going to go and excuse unrighteousness. You return to me and I'll accept you back and I'll return to you. And I will forgive you and wash your sins as white as snow. But you've got to do this step. See, if you want to be near to God, God already took the step by giving his son. Travis, you can be seated. God already gave his son and already invited you and condescended to men of low estate. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord, when I think of man, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him, that God will accept you, is amazing that he takes a step to be close to man. That he hasn't destroyed us is amazing steps. But God says, you return to me and I'll return to you. But you've got to come to me. You've got to choose me. I already chose you. You return to him. God said, James 4:7 is a great verse. Draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. If you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. See, you take the step. And I want to say this. God meets you because he knows how weak you are when you start. And remember when I said, Lord, I can't give this thing up. I'm not strong enough. You know, God intervened. And I can't tell you how it happened, the whole process. I just can tell you the exact process of it. I didn't even realize it, but I had almost stopped chewing completely. I went to Get and Go in Oregon City. It's a little convenience store where the man there would always let us buy our chew when we were young men and weren't of age and whatever else we wanted to buy. And I went to Get and Go. I bought my can of Copenhagen for 99 cents. Those were the days back when for tobacco laws. And you know what? I don't mind it being $6 and $7. And don't tell me you don't have any money for food or rent if you're smoking or chewing. It's free. And so I took that can and you put your fingernail and there's a little edge of paper around there. I took that paper out and I closed the lid off and I said, you know what? I don't even think I've done this, but once or twice a day, and it dawned on me, I'm done. Littered. I don't litter anymore. I littered. Threw it in the ground there in that field where there's a Michael's craft store right there now. There was nothing there then. I was walking through the field, and it never touched it since. Amen. Because I didn't have the strength to do it, but God said, you're turning to me. I'm going to help you. You draw near to me. I'll draw near to you. I want to be close to you. But notice in this, return unto me, I'll return unto you. James 4:7, draw near unto me, I will draw near unto you. And you know, if you came to God tonight and say, God, I don't feel close to you, but I want to take a step and say, Lord, please, I want to be close to you, and I'm sorry about this. And Lord, I'm trying to be closer to you. Do you know God would really, if you're this far away, you'd move and God would move? He's not going to excuse your sin, but he gives grace, and he really will. You make that little bit of decision, you'll be surprised how you'll feel him moving closer. Last thing I want to say, the least fun one of these. We said, if you want to be near to God, it begins with the calling of God. Just like Israel was just called. You don't run from his presence. You obey his commandments. You draw near in prayer. You draw near in truth. You return to him. And last of all is the least fun of all, but you want to be near to God, have a broken heart. Amen. Have a broken heart. Psalm 34. Psalm 34 is a wonderful chapter in Psalms. I memorized it when I was, 17 or 18. Great chapter. Psalm 34 and verse 18. It says, the Lord is nigh, and again, nigh means what? Near. The Lord is nigh or near unto them that are of a broken heart, and save us such as we have a contrite spirit. There's many ways to a broken heart. The best way to get a broken heart is to have the heart of God. And you love people and love the things that he loves so much that you look in the fields and get a broken heart. You get a self-inflicted broken heart. You get the heart of God because you look with the eyes of God on things, and you can get a broken heart that way, and it's the easiest way to get a broken heart. But God really works in those with a broken heart's life, and God knows mankind when their heart is broken. It is brutal on humans to have a broken heart. And you might have your heart broken from a relationship. You might have your heart broken from loneliness. You might have your heart broken from circumstances. But the Bible says the Lord is nigh to them that have a broken heart. And I just know this in my life. When my heart has been broken, and it has been for many different things over many years, I just know that never do I feel the presence of God as when my heart is broken. And by the way, if you go to God tonight and you say, God, my heart's broken, I'm not close enough to you, he's going to draw real near to you. And if you are in a broken heart situation in your life, I want you to understand, once you're saved and you start drawing near to God, God's going to say, you get a special closeness because I'm near to those that have a broken heart because I know you need me then. But some people have a broken heart in pride and are afraid to go and cry to God. And I tell you what, when my heart is broken and I go to God as a psalmist many times did and said, oh, Lord, my heart is broken. Lord, I'm overwhelmed. Lord, I can't. I'm so broken hearted. Lord, I don't know what to do. I just can't take this. You know how rich and full the presence of God comes and how better I am when I'm done praying like that. A broken heart draws God near to you. And sometimes because God wants to be close to you, because he loves you so much and because it's the best thing for you to be close to him, he goes ahead and lets you get a broken heart. And you say, why, Lord? And he's saying, this is why, because we're talking. And I'm close to you now. So you need to feel a little lonely or a little heartache or a little burden because I'm nigh to those of a broken heart. And I save such as we have a contrite spirit. The word contrite means crushed. So you could be near to God tonight. Salvation, doing the things that he wants you to do, all these different points. But why don't you just take a step toward him tonight? Because in his presence is fullness of joy, at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. And if you aren't saved tonight, you'll never get there until you get born again. And I recommend you come tonight. Just come down the aisle when we have the invitation. Say, you know what, Pastor Byram, I don't know I'm going to heaven. And we'll show you how. And we won't embarrass you at all. We'll take you aside. We'll show you how to be saved. Christian, what did God speak to you about tonight about drawing near to God? Let's pray. Father, I pray tonight that we would draw near to our wonderful God. Lord, if anybody could just get in your presence for an hour one time, I think the rest of their life they would never speak an ill word of you again because they would understand how wonderful you are. But most of them never get in your presence, Lord. Most of the world, many Christians occasionally get there. And Lord, I pray we dwell there. And I pray we draw near to you and return to you. If we are living in something away from you, I pray tonight we return to you. I pray if our heart is broken, I pray we'd use it to draw near to you and not just stand there and act tough. I pray we'd also be people who keep your commandments and do the things you're pleasing in your sight and whatever else you might have said that we need to do to draw near to you. Or if something we didn't mention in the sermon tonight, I pray you'd speak to us and help us to do it in Jesus' name. As bowed eyes closed, Christian,